There is no upside to being a sports fan. Never has been, never will be. Let's talk about the latest reason why.
You are Locked On Spartans, your daily podcast on the Michigan State Spartans. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Spartan friends, Spartan family, Locked On Spartans listeners. Also, hey, Kansas State fans, I know you guys got to be in the mix here. Congratulations on just an awesome season for you guys, not just in basketball, but God, also football as well. I mean, why wouldn't you be watching this show to eat this all up too? And also Michigan fans, I know you guys are here after every single loss Michigan State has because, well, it's not like you got any more NIT games to watch, so of course you weirdos are in here as well. Thank you so much for tuning in to Locked On Spartans, your team every single day. We're not going to front, we're not going to lie, we're not going to, you know, act like, hey, that doesn't hurt at all. No, that one absolutely sucked. That was one of the hardest losses that you will watch as a Michigan State fan, but before getting to any of that, this episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. All right, Kansas State. What was it, 98? I can't believe they only scored 98 points after scoring on every single possession that they had in the second half and in overtime. And Michigan State, 93. All right, there's a few ways to look at this game. There's the X's and O's way, which we will get to, but let's just start talking about the intangible way that Michigan State fans felt during this game. And going into this game, look, Kansas State, very good team. Clearly, obviously, an incredible team, and I think this is what actually hurts the most about this game, is that Michigan State played really good. Really, really good. I mean, like, really good. They probably played an 8.5, if not 9 out of a 10 game. Kansas State played a great game. They played an elite game, and that might actually hurt a little bit here. And, you know, this is a debate you can have yourself. Is it harder to take a game where you didn't play well, but you know you're better than that, but you just didn't get the victory, or a game like today where you played really, really good, but unfortunately another team is just great. If you play another team, or you play this game 10 times, and you play the same way, like, you're going to win most of these games, but no, Kansas State, just like they did against Kentucky, just like Jerome Tang said after that game, just outdueded them, and that's what happened today. So, from the fan side of things here, though, I would be remiss not to just mention this right off the top, because this is how it felt the entire day. Going into the game, I mean, this even goes before the game. Going into the game, Kansas State has so many great storylines going for them, right? Marquise Nowell, who gets shorter every time the announcers talk about him or every time a story is written about him. He starts the week at 5'9", and by the time the ball tips off, He's a 4'7" guard from New York City who plays with more heart than height. It's an amazing story. And on top of all that, a great player. You also have Keontae Johnson, all right, who had that incident 2 years ago at Florida where his heart stopped on the court. This is two great, incredible Hollywood plots colliding onto the same team. And every single March, we see heroes be made. Michigan State fans, we've been very lucky. We've seen a lot of heroes made ourselves. We've seen Corey Lucius be made a hero. Jarrell Summers, Travis Trice, Cassius Winston. But you know what? Sometimes you're at the other end of the table. Today felt like we were watching a Disney original classic, but we were the villains the entire time. All right, even going into the game, all the storylines Kansas State had with Nowell, the undersized plucky guard that wills his team to victory. Keontae Johnson, the gentleman that is coming from a miraculous recovery from a medical incident 2 years ago. And then during the game too, yeah, of course he had a twisted ankle in the second half. And of course he came back and rattled off, what was it, 9 straight possessions MSU couldn't get a stop. Of course he went to overtime. Of course he hit that wacky bank shot. Of course Michigan State lost it. Like, yeah, this was the Disney, it was like watching Lion King, but you're rooting for Scar the entire time. You're rooting for the dentist in Finding Nemo. It was an unsettling feeling the entire game. And honestly, when that bank shot three-pointer went in with the shot clock expiring in the second half as Marquise Nowell came back into the game, I almost felt a sense of calm over me because it was like, oh, the game's over. Like, that's it. Like, there are higher powers that are in this game. But let's talk about it from an X's and O standpoint. All right, because yeah, it's silly to talk about, hey, Michigan State, they couldn't have done anything. No, they could have. Even though they played a really, 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 really good game, they had their chances to win it down the stretch. And before we get into the plays here, I know a lot of people are very upset at one Malik Hall. We will get to him in a little bit. I might be a little Malik Hall defending here in a hot second, but let's talk about the guy in charge. Tom Izzo, a guy who came into this game 10 of 14 in Sweet 16s. And then, hey, eight times when he wins those games, he is 8-2 in Elite Eights. He is Mr. March. He's back. He also got out coached this game. And I know that's going to be a very uncomfortable truth. And not like so blatantly that, you know, Michigan State should have never been in the game to begin with. But there's one glaring error that I saw in this game. And I know hindsight's 20/20, and I know it is ridiculous for me, just an idiot with a microphone, to be talking about a Hall of Fame coach and his game plans like this. But look, again, I'm just a stooge with a podcast, and I know that Kansas State absolutely thrashes teams when they do help side defense. They crash Marquise Noel. Hey, he's driving to the lane. Oh, well, we better have two people up here. Every single time, not most of the time, every single time Marquise Noel is going to find the guy that the help side defender left, pass it to him for a very easy layup. All right, what did Kansas State shoot? Sorry, I barely have any notes in front of me. We're just going off vibes right now. But Kansas State shot from the field 55%. And look, that's a very hard number to sustain normally. Not when you're getting the most wide open looks possible. That was a true 55% shooting from Kansas State. And that's because they went in with a game plan of, hey, instead of making Noel attempt very difficult layups, which he can make sometimes. I get it. He's a very good player. Instead of trying to have him make very difficult layups, hey, Carson Cooper, why don't you just step up? Hey, Imani Sissoko, come right on down. Malik Hall, come right on. We're going to get two guys on him just to have a layup that was somehow even easier than the one prior to made against you. So that's the one knock I have. I mean, yeah, Michigan State had some opportunities to win the game there at the end. Some free throws, some plays. But really, for me, it was the strategy that you walked in with on defense. And maybe it's not coaching. Maybe it was just a horrible execution play by the players after getting drilled on it all week. All that I know is that 19 assists by Marquise Noel is not a mistake when you leave your guy for help side defense that much. And that was the decider of the game. We'll get to more in a little bit. Jeez, this sucks. Can't believe we got to talk about this. Hey, FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one sportsbook. I'm going to be front with you when this game went to overtime. I live bet Kansas State to hedge my happiness. I was like, well, if I got to watch the Wildcats absolutely rip our hearts out, better get paid for it. And I did on FanDuel because they are so great with their live lines and all that good stuff. And also, well, when you withdraw the money, you're going to pay pretty quick with FanDuel. Right now, FanDuel is giving new customers a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 as well. So if for some reason you want to watch more March Madness basketball, which why wouldn't you, sign up on FanDuel right now. That no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. You're going to get that back in bonus bets. If your first bet doesn't win, just go to FanDuel.com/lockedon and sign up today to claim your no-sweat first bet. You can wager on everything from money line to point spreads to which team will be cutting down the net. It's all in an app that's safe, secure, super easy to use. So do not miss your shot at the no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. When you join FanDuel today, just go to FanDuel.com/lockedon to sign up. Make every moment more with FanDuel. Let's talk more about the game. And, because who doesn't want to hear about this some more? There's a lot of chatter about Malik Hall online. And this is the problem that you get when your team plays a really, really, really good game and still loses, is that a lot of people are going to be grasping at anyone that just had an okay game and then makes them the problem child for what happened on Thursday. And look, I get it. It's not missed with me. I understand the plays at the end of the game. The free throws. Okay, I guess I could just sit here and just scream into a microphone, make your free throws, but, like, they were trying, okay? Like, I don't have it in me to find a lot of anger for missing free throws. Like, yeah, was it a reason they lost the game? 100%. Joey almost airballing a free throw, Malik Hall making the first, and then almost airballing his second. Yeah, that kind of matters when you're tied going into overtime, but look, these are dead legs that we're dealing with. Again, let's talk about other plays. The other play that Malik Hall had a lot of people on him after was the what we thought was an airballed three from Marquise Noel. MSU would have gotten the ball. They would have had an opportunity to win it at the end of the game, just down 1 point. But of course, Kansas State gets the ball. But let's talk about the shot too. All right, everyone in the arena thought that that was an airballed shot. All right, AJ Hoger got a fingernail on that ball. I don't fault Malik Hall in the moment for letting that ball go out of bounds, because also too, I know a lot of people are going to say, well, he was on the baseline, just grab it. He was also running adjacent to the baseline as well. That would have been a pretty athletic play just to grab the ball. Maybe he didn't even have 100% confidence that he could have grabbed that ball. But also on the inbound play as well, yeah, that was another bad look as well. I don't know if I could defend that. There was some action that they ran. Malik Hall didn't see it, got caught up in a pick. And then, well, of course he did. Masood hit every single shot he took. So, I mean, Kansas State hit every shot they took down the stretch. Who are we kidding? So, yeah, that was also pretty bad as well. But let's not forget the offensive rebound put back at the end of the game when Michigan State needed a bucket in the worst way. Okay. He got that one. Like, look, I know it wasn't a great game for Malik Hall. I don't think it was a good game, but this is the pitfalls you have when everyone else plays really good. And Michigan State got a lot of other good performances. And I would love to talk about them. Yeah, I would love to talk about Joey Hauser going for 18 points, 4 of 9 from 3-point land. I would love to talk about AJ Hogard. After kind of a slow-ish start, having 25 points, putting the team on his back. Tyson Walker had great moments down the stretch as well after a tough start. Jaden Akins, sure, 4 or 5 from 3 for 14 points. He had a really good game as well, but like, what's the point of talking about it when none of it really mattered? I'm not going to do the Purdue home game episode again where we talk about Tyson Walker played really good, but they still lost. Like, no, in March, it doesn't matter. And like, great, you had good games, but the other guys had even better ones. And that's what hurts, is that there was a lot of good performances out here today. So, yeah, I just wanted to address the Malik Hall thing really quick. Yeah, if you had to pick a guy that had, like, the worst game, sure, I guess it was Malik Hall, 32 minutes, 0 of 2 from 3. But, again, I think those were fine three-point shots. He had 8 rebounds. He played okay. He played just okay, but, yeah, it was just really bad. Wrong place, wrong time there at the end of the game for Malik Hall. Yeah, I don't know. This is different than the Ohio State game. If you listen to this podcast after the Ohio State game in the Big Ten tournament, get pretty emotional after these games. And I'm certainly emotional right now, but it's a different emotion. After the Ohio State game, you know, I was very disturbed by what I saw almost, because, like, the team was not engaged. They were not locked in from the start. They had no game plan going in. It was just sloppy all around. And you're pretty upset at that because, well, it's March, guys. How are you guys this flat? It's a different emotion because these guys really did have a really good game all around. And I'll stop saying that. What we will move on to is the debate of, was this season a success? Was this season a success? Yeah, we're ready to have that conversation. The body on the season may be still warm, but yeah, we're going to try to detach ourselves from what we just saw on Thursday and look at the season as a whole. Was this season a success? Yeah, maybe, perhaps, I don't know. I think it is, actually. I think it was, and I think we're going to feel a lot different about the season a week from now than we do tonight. Again, emotions are running high. They're running high for me. They're probably running high for you. But I think it was. And what I fear is going to happen, what I fear is going to happen around this little region of Michigan State, Kansas State, Florida Atlantic, and Tennessee, I fear that the dialogue that also still surrounds the 2019 Final Four is going to happen here, where a lot of people think that that's the one that got away, that, oh, we should have beat Texas Tech. And then, you know, hey, we would have won the national title. To rewind it to that debate, No, I don't think, like, this is something I've talked about up and down this whole podcast. So if this is your eighth time hearing this, I apologize. But for the new people, Texas Tech was just a good team. Texas Tech was just a really good team that probably wins that game 7 out of 10 times. And then, if you beat them, oh great, you get a date with Virginia, who has just destiny on their side, in the national title game. Like, I don't think that that's the national title that got away for Tom Izzo. I fear, to bring it back to this regional, I fear that's what we're going to be doing now, is that, oh, this was another Final Four that got away from Izzo. And sure, yeah, they could have beat Kansas State, they could have beat Tennessee, but, like, also, Kansas State is just a really, really good team. Like, they are a fantastic team, just the way Texas Tech was. You have to tip your cap to them. I mean, 19 assists, 20 points, they played you like a fiddle on the offensive end the entire second half when Noel came back from his sprained ankle or whatever that was. Like, sometimes you just run into a really good team. And then also, just the same way when you beat Texas Tech, you have to play Virginia. Let's say MSU wins this one. Okay, you would have to play a really good Tennessee or Florida Atlantic team. I apologize, I'm recording during that game. I don't really care what happens. I'm done watching basketball probably the rest of the season, because I don't care anymore. Yeah, like, there's no guarantee that you're in the Final Four. So I already know what's going to happen of, like, oh, the region was set up perfectly for Michigan State. They got past Marquette. They had Rick Barnes, who always chokes in March. They had a Florida Atlantic team. And then oh, they just had Kansas State. Like, those are pretty good teams, guys. I know no one wants to hear it right now. I know that a lot of people probably just clicked off this video or have hit the dislike button after all this. But, like, that's just the fact of the matter, is that, like, sometimes you run into really good teams. And Kansas State, I know it sounds weird because they're just Kansas State, but they are a really good team this year. Jerome Tang has done wonders in year one after spending almost 20 years at Baylor. Tennessee, yeah, it's Rick Barnes. They also had a really, really strong defense. Or let's say Florida Atlantic wins against Tennessee. Okay, that's a team that won, what, 33 games? That's not by mistake. They're a very good team. So I digress. We will get a little more into why I think this season is a success really quick here. But first, I need to talk your ear off about Built Bar. That's right, gang. Built Bar, the best protein bar in the land. I'm sure Marquise Noel wolfed down a few of the Built Bars when he has leg injury. The Built March Madness bracket is here. We know you have a favorite bar or puff, and now's the time to make a count. Go to BuiltMarchMadness.com to vote for your favorites. You know I will be voting for the Churro Puff. That's right. It is dynamic. It is dynamite. It should be a number one seed. And when you vote for your favorite bar or puff, you will be entered into a drawing where 50 lucky Locked On listeners will get a free box of Built. Not only that, but one Locked On family will get a 12-month subscription of Built to have Built best bars or puffs delivered monthly straight to your door. So you got to try it. Let's try Built Bars, guys. Come on, what are you waiting for? It's the best protein bar out there. They are so amazing, you won't even think that they're good for you. But they are low in sugar, low in calories, high in protein. So run to BuiltMarchMadness.com right now to vote for your favorite bar or puff and pick up a box while you are there. You can also vote every day in March. So hop in and support your pick. Let's get into the mix here of just an awesome game. We're all having a great time right now. So, was this season a success? I think it is. And I know I'm doing a really bad job. Because, look, as a talking head show host or whatever, I know I'm supposed to be red in the face, pounding the desk as hard as I can, and screaming at you my opinion, and that what I say is correct, and I'm so strong of what I think that it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. Like, no. Look, it's not missed with me why a lot of people might think that this season was not a success. I'm not unaware to everything around that because, look, at the end of the day, this is Michigan State, all right? A lot of us talk about us being a blue blood. I'm one of them. I get it. Like, you expect banners, all right? There were no banners this season. You don't get a banner for finishing fourth in the Big Ten, for getting a double bye where you lose immediately, and you don't get a banner for a Sweet 16. I get it. I get that whole side. And also, too, the whole season, just three marquee wins, really. The Kentucky game and the Champions Classic, which, even though Kentucky ended up not being great this year, that's still a really nice game over a brand-name team in the Champions Classic, a really nice marquee event. The Indiana game was another really good one at home. It was the first home game after the incident that happened in February. That was great as well. And then the Marquette game to get to the Sweet 16. That's it, though. Hard stop at that. You had a lot of other chances to get some good wins. The home game against Purdue. All right. The road game against Iowa. The road game against Michigan, where you had a lead late in the game as well. The Gonzaga game early in the season. The Northwestern game at home. Even though Northwestern ended up being an okay team, you'd still like to win that game at home. Like, there were a short number of marquee wins. However, all right, this is why I lean like 55%. Yes, this was a successful season against 45%. No, it's not. Like, I'm not that deeply rooted in the sand here. Again, I'm doing a terrible job as a sports show talking host. But, like, yeah, I would barely call it a success, I think. Why? Because of the preseason expectations. Like, we all walked into this season, not just in the AP poll. You know, you are right outside the top 25. All right, that we got to take just from all the experts, so to speak, that you were outside the top 25 to start the season. But also, too, just as fans, lovers of this program, like, you know it's going to be an interesting year. All right, you're taking the court with 10 scholarship players. You don't really have a front court that you're firmly believing in. There are still some building blocks that might not get built this season, but you think kind of will. So it's just the preseason expectations for me until where we are right now, one of the last 16 teams standing in March. And not just that, but the only Big Ten team standing as well. And you do all this after the adversity on the court. All right, how much time did Malik Hall miss? How much time did Jaden Akins miss at the start of the season? You almost got a later start in the year just because those two starters, or sixth man, which Malik Hall ended up being, were gone for a good chunk of the portion of the season. Not just on the court too, but off the court as well. We all know what happened in February, all right? I mean, say what you will about the team, like, oh, well, they were never close to the situation. Like, I don't know if you remember that night. I remember pretty firmly. There were a lot of reports flying around. No one knew what was going on. I quite literally cannot imagine what everyone that was a student or faculty member there was going through. But, yeah, that can't be easy to just bounce back from, especially when you're the only people that are in the public light after that happens, kind of carrying the whole logo of Michigan State University on your chest after that. So, again, that's something else that I want to throw in as well. And maybe it's this too. Maybe it's this too. Maybe I am a little blinded by what next year can be. Because, hey, those building blocks to start the year that we weren't sure were going to happen. Like, okay, will A.J. Hogard take that step forward? Will Jaden Akins start to become the player that we want him to be? What will Tyson Walker look like? Will he be more assertive? Like, those building blocks were built in the last month of the season. Wasn't always perfect. Those three guys didn't have perfect games down the stretch, but also the front court as well. Again, far from perfect. Far from perfect. We've been very critical of the front court the whole season, and for probably good reason, but by the end of the season, you start to see the flashes in Carson Cooper, a guy that no one else recruited. You start to see the flashes in that Marquette game against Mati Sissoko. I'm going to need to see a lot more than just that game going into the offseason because, again, we are approaching year number four for him. Not a lot of growth has happened, but there has been some. But there has been some. Now the big question is, will anything be built off of that? And then Jackson Kohler, look, he's got the footwork for the career. Can we just turn those million-dollar footwork moves into not dollar store finishes? I think that will happen. So I see the vision as well. And of course, the recruiting class coming in next year. Now, I'm a little more reluctant to put all my eggs in their basket. It is very tough for a highly touted freshman class to come in and make an instant impact. Just ask Kentucky how that went this season. Just ask Arkansas how that went this season. And I know that they went to the Sweet 16 as well, but they, you know, ended the season as an 8 seed. You know, that's a long way of saying that just because you have really good freshmen coming in next year doesn't mean you're going to see the impact instantly next year. So it's not because of the freshmen of why I think highly of next year. It's just what we saw from the guys that might come back next year. A.J. Hogard, Jaden Akins, probably maybe coming back. Again, this is how I have to talk, because with the transfer portal, nothing's ever 100% certain, but let's say those guys come back. You feel pretty good. So that's why I call the season a success. And you know what? Let's talk about this too, because this might sound ridiculous for the people that say, no, the season wasn't a success. With that said, if this same season happens again next year, like Michigan State is fourth in the Big Ten, they get flamed out of the Big Ten tournament immediately. They make the Sweet 16, woohoo, but then they get bounced. No, like, next year I wouldn't call it a success. And let me tell you why. And actually, let me just pull an example for you. And I swear I'm not being a mean troll right now, just ripping on Michigan. They just happen to be the perfect example for last year. Really good recruiting class for them last year. All right, they were top 10 in the nation in the preseason poll. They had NBA talent. They had an All-American come back to their team. All right, they had a ninth place finish in the Big Ten. Then they had a Sweet 16. And yes, after that, I kind of looked at all the Michigan fans a little odd. The ones that were saying that, oh, the season was a success. It was great. Like, no, after having a stacked roster like that, a preseason top 10 team, and a team that can actually, like, you know that they can be successful, like, I don't know if just a Sweet 16 with that much going on for you is a successful season. I think that's what Michigan State is going to have next year. They will, maybe not top 10 in the AP poll, but probably imagine they're in the top 20 pretty firmly. Yeah, you do have veteran leadership. You have A.J. Hogard, most likely. Tyson Walker, probably most likely. Jaden Akins, probably most likely. Who's to say? But still, you have all of those guys returning next year. You have a strong freshman class. It can't happen again next year. And also, look around the rest of the Big Ten. Like, are you kidding me? Like, it's kind of a joke. If it wasn't made clear to you enough in March Madness, let me just tell you again. Like, the Big Ten is MSU's for the taking next year. So if you don't win the regular season title next year, if you don't win the Big Ten tournament, say what you will about it. I'm not going to have the debate of how much we should care about that, but it's a banner at the end of the day. If you don't do either of those, and then you just go to the Sweet 16 and you flame out immediately with that much veteran leadership, with that many guys coming back, with a good freshman class, like, no, then I wouldn't call it a successful season next year. All right, but, you know, I would call it one next year because also, too, the program seems to be back on track a little bit. I sensed, and maybe this is just me, but I sensed a little instability going into March Madness. You haven't been to the Sweet 16 in the last two postseasons. Yeah, and if you do it a third time, okay, those whispers are going to become shouts, but look, you got to the Sweet 16. It seems like there's some normalcy involved, and I also think it does help, too, that you were the only Big Ten team that advanced to the Sweet 16 in March. It almost felt like order was restored in the Big Ten because also the other seven teams that didn't go to the Sweet 16, that wasn't by fluke. All right, even that 16-1 game, Fairleigh Dickinson versus Purdue. Like, no, Fairleigh Dickinson looked like the better team that night, too, so maybe I'm deflecting right now, but I don't think I am. Like, Michigan State's in good position next year, and it's because of what they did in this season, whether it's on the court in the last month of the season, guys making a name for themselves, or just bringing stability back to the program. But whatever. This is the end of the show. We'll be back Sunday talking about God knows what. We should probably talk about football for a little bit. Yeah, we've ignored that sport for a while because who doesn't want to talk about a team off a 5-7 season? Sorry, it's really hard to be positive right now. That game hurt a lot. MSU could have gone to the Final Four. Yeah, it was a pretty good draw, but at the end of the day, there are other good teams too. And Kansas State was just a really, really dynamic team that had everything going for them tonight. A lot in their power, a lot not in their power, but yeah. They did it, and they did it extraordinarily. So congratulations to Kansas State. Good luck the rest of the tournament. I won't be watching, quite frankly. I'll check in on scores, I'm sure. But, like, yeah, I'm so burnt out from just another season. So let's see y'all Sunday. All right, love you all. Go Green.